they're so tight that yeah.
That's what she said.
The trick is just don't look at anybody in the eye if it's bugging you.
Okay.
People fade off it all the time. And I know you're used to studio mics, but this ain't a studio mic.
What makes you think
room.
That about him?
One, two.
All right, honey, tell me
this,
when you're ready.
Is it this? Hang on. Is it this end or this? Like, do I talk into this bit or this bit?
Yeah. We're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Talking to him.
It was nice having you, Matt. Thanks for coming in.
I'm going to have to get all gangster in this motherfucker.
Do whatever you need to do in this motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Art of Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes on our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free. Write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Well, my name is Heather, and I'm here to say, subscribe to our show and you'll be okay.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm rapping. Subscribe to our content or I'll punch you in your junkin.
Okay, honey.
What?
You better leave the rapping to the professionals.
Okay, maybe you're right. Subscribe now, and I'll stop rapping.
Please subscribe.
We only have two rules in the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer or destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, rap haters. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Baba Brinkman, Shelley Siegel, and Matt Kirshen. You know these folks from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, everyone.
It's great to be here. Love it.
Matt, hey. Are you okay, Matt? What was that? What's wrong?
This is a picture of my face as it moves in on that machine.
You know how that works?
Yeah.
No idea. How are you guys?
It's stealing your soul as we speak.
Oh, God. It's how many souls per second is that one?
How many do you have?
It's 29.97 souls per second.
Oh, God damn, that's a lot of souls.
Yeah. We could change it to 30 if you'd like an even number.
I kind of do like an even number of
okay.
souls.
Okay, we'll do that
it's
during
one
the break.
Of my quirks.
What are you, OCD?
Yeah. His soul's gone. He's working on Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Gotta go. We've got two Jews here. I mean, three Jews here at least.
We're celebrating.
We're celebrating by not doing shit.
You didn't count yourself in that.
I didn't.
Two and a half Jews. Two and a half Jews.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten anything since sunset.
Is that... Do you really do?
It's just now sunset. So.
And I haven't touched anything once. Nothing has passed my lips. As I was driving down...
driving, operating a car.
Yeah. Down the freeway.
You were not eating.
Very slowly, as it turns out.
Well, that's almost like not operating a vehicle.
Yeah, and...
The way the Jews bend the rules, I think you might get away with that one.
Right.
I just don't like the way you say the Jews.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The way the Juden...
Is that better?
And Yom Kippur, you can... It's a Day of Atonement, right?
Mm-hmm. We had that conversation earlier. Shelley was screaming her head
off. She'll
go
off and off. You can ask for forgiveness if you've transgressed against someone.
You need to ask for forgiveness. And as long as you ask genuinely for forgiveness from someone, even if they don't forgive you, you will be forgiven.
But you have to ask three times.
Yeah.
It's like
please be pleased.
It's like the, is that the 11th step, 10th step?
It's one of the steps.
One of the steps.
Yeah.
Or it's like Catholicism, but just like once a year and without the touching.
And this is for anyone? anyone who's Jewish can do this, can ask for forgiveness?
Yeah.
Would that work for Hitler?
At least you're asking forgiveness from a real person who you've transgressed against and not from an imaginary entity.
But even...
Yeah. See? You found a silver lining in that shit cloud.
But even
nicely done.
But they don't actually have to forgive you, because you can be forgiven for... hurting them.
But you still have to ask them. You still have to ask them to their.
As long as you apologize three times.
I'm now asking Shelley about my own religion. But are you meant to ask them to their face or just ask God on their behalf?
No, according to Colbert, which used to be on air, you have to call and ask them.
Yeah.
Which is weird because you're not supposed to use a phone, right?
Yeah. Just hoping they're all in synagogue.
But that's a weird 12-step.
Yeah. Which step is it? Because I remember when our when our mutual friend Brendan Burns was going through his 12-stepping all those years ago. I remember he at that point, and he's like, and he was like, oh, man, I don't have to apologize to you about anything, do I? And I was like, well, there was that time on mushrooms when you hit me in the balls. Because I made the mistake of not constantly being on guard in my house. surrounded by friends.
I think all of the 12 steps for Brendan include denial.
Yeah.
And ball punching it. Yeah.
Shelley, there was something about dipping celery in tears that you were mentioning.
No, that was... We moved
Passover,
on. We were yelling about Passover. But do you remember doing anything with breadcrumbs?
Matt.
Did you do that, Matt?
With breadcrumbs?
Yeah. So, like,
besides
I remember we did this thing called Tashlich. So it's like a symbolic removing of your sins. And so after the long day at synagogue, we would put breadcrumbs in our pockets, and then we would walk to the river in the city, and then we would throw the breadcrumbs into the river, and our sins would be eaten by the fish, which causing a terrible bioaccumulation of sin in the ecosystem. But we were forgiven, which is what is important.
Is that a song? You have to make that into a song.
That hadn't even occurred to me. We never did that, but I'm aware of that. But you're right, that does mean that as you go up the food chain, the sin will concentrate, leading eventually to humans at the top of the food chain, and we get all the sin back.
Reconsuming all the sin.
It'll be highly concentrated in the breast milk of Eskimos.
Baba, are you an atheist?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you grow up with religion?
I grew up with New Agey stuff. Oh, so not really, not a practice, but ashrams and meditation and ideas about reincarnation and astral travel.
And
slightly more palatable bullshit.
And energy manipulating people that think that there's, chakras and, healing from afar and stuff
like
that.
We're all connected, man. We're all connected.
I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia. It's very alternative culture, crystal therapy, that kind of stuff. That was the norm. So becoming an atheist for me was about starting to look for rational explanations for things that seemed to be like too crazy that they couldn't be a coincidence. But it wasn't about getting rid of the idea of a personal God. I never really had that.
So you became a skeptic first, I guess, and then atheism came to you, kind of.
Yeah,
I think you were sort of already an atheist by at least some people's standards, but just with a bit of woo chucked on top.
Yeah, I took a religious studies class, and my professor put it, he said there's two kinds of agnostics. There's warm agnostics and cold agnostics. Cold agnostics say, I don't know if there's a God and I don't care, and warm ones say, I don't know if there's a God, I need to see evidence to believe, but I really hope there is. And I considered myself a warm agnostic for a while. Like, I really want to find the mysterious and the transcendent, and, I feel like it might be out there, but I'm a little too rational to say I believe in it without seeing something. And then at a certain point, I was like, what am I holding out for here? It's not a better picture to think that this mysterious invisible entity is going to come to light, and it's not a reasonable expectation either. So,
don't you want to believe there's something bigger than you? I don't know why I chose that voice.
Because Matt,
I was really trying to do a pothead. Things that are bigger than me.
I was trying. Yeah, that's what I say. Right, right. Penn Jillette's bigger than me. Huge, that guy. So
I'm still yet to see any proof of him.
You've never met Penn?
I've never met Penn.
I got to see him. We just went to a pasta con.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there. He was in one of Robin Ince's gigs a couple years ago.
Did he?
You've seen video of him, and you've seen him on television.
Dad,
what more evidence?
CG? You think it's CG?
I've seen video of Bigfoot as well.
You son of a bitch with your logic.
Yeah. Have you never seen, the videos of Bigfoot and Teller?
Yeah, no. Bigfoot and Teller, I believe, might be the title of this particular show.
Writing it down.
That is funny. Yeah, no, I've seen him, so you're not going to take my word for it?
I not until I see it with my own eyes. That's why I don't believe in evolution.
Because you haven't seen it with your own eyes.
I won't believe anything I haven't seen with my own eyes. I also don't believe in China.
You mean dishes?
Both the dish and the people. the country and the material. I don't believe in China. I don't believe in the moon.
You've seen the moon?
The moon
I've
is out
seen
there.
A circle in the sky. I haven't seen the moon.
You've seen a
and
reflection.
I don't believe in true love.
You've never seen that.
Oh, that's horrible.
Your parents aren't in love?
I don't know if it's true.
All right. Wow, you're a major skeptic. I didn't realize this.
Well, yeah, I guess you hadn't seen me.
Right.
For who I truly am.
Do you believe in Alex Jones?
Oh, yeah, he's the only thing I believe in. And everything he says.
I'm starting to understand your thinking.
Yeah.
The source of your sickness.
So, sickness.
We've been wanting to get you on the show forever.
Yeah.
It's great to be here.
Is this your first time in L.A. or you've been here before, you know?
I've probably been here like 8 or 9 years ago, but it's been a while. Yeah. All right.
Before we knew who you were.
Before I would have self-identified as an atheist, even.
Huh. Yeah.
Are you doing a show while you're here?
I am. I'm doing a show at the Steve Allen Theater on the 30th of September, which is Blasphemy Rights Day, and CFI is organizing it at their headquarters. So if you have listeners in L.A., come check out the show, Rap Guide to Religion.
We do have listeners in L.A.
Yeah.
They will be there whether we mention it or not, I presume.
Yeah.
Cool. You're huge in our circle. People.
Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. Atheists dig you a lot.
Well, because, you know, when you become an atheist, you go and you look up the other things that are atheist in your world, like music, rap, and, you know, other things, movies. And so you pop up. You're the first thing that pops up.
What are the best atheist beverages?
Give me a second. Hold on.
I can't believe it's not a milkshake. I don't know. That's pretty bad.
Come on, Matt. What do you got?
Dr. Pepper.
I don't know. I know.
He's got a PhD. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That came from Ryan Magnan. All right. By the end of the show, we have to figure out what the premier atheist drink is.
I was going to say food, but then that was too easy, so I changed tack.
Yeah, food, bacon. It's got to be bacon.
Baby cola? I don't know.
Is that a real drink?
No, I made it up.
Oh.
Hmm. You grind up little babies and drink it.
Well, also,
disgusting.
What's the... What are the most...
I got it.
Devil's food cake.
A cold cup of shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I've been served that on many occasions.
It's a fine, fine drink, and I'm pretty sure it exists.
I've never seen it. Shelley, what are you doing here?
You're in L.A. again.
I'm not doing anything here. I'm going to a music conference this Thursday in L.A.
You leave on Thursday.
Concert.
Yeah. Oh,
I think you can say that.
No, I can't. I'm here on tour, so I'm in the U.S. for a 3-month tour. Promoting my new EP, Strange Feeling, and I did an LA show that you guys came to.
We came to the EP party, the release party.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next show is Friday in New Orleans.
Fun.
And it's going to be streamed live. So you can check it out on my website and tune in.
If you have the interwebs, you can check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You've been working a lot. I've just been seeing nonstop photos of you performing on stage in different arenas, and then seeing you live at a PastaCon was awesome.
Yeah.
And your new porn is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I worked really hard.
Would you describe that as an atheist porn? Or?
I do scream at God a couple of times.
That's how they get you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
With the
foot
section.
In the door. That's not what they call it.
You get that
first foot in the door.
I don't think that's a position.
No. And so you have a new album out, and so do you, Baba.
Yeah, my album's actually coming out on October 23rd, so it's just pre-order and sample stuff up right now. But it's going to be the Rap Guide to Religion.
And I see you're naked on the cover.
Yeah, mostly naked on the cover.
He's wearing briefs.
Briefs, is that what they are?
If the question for Baba Brinkman is boxers or briefs, get the album.
It's meant to be a sort of a Buddhist loincloth for a monk type of thing, but I'll go with
briefs. It's a diaper.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you were saying that you did the album, you've been performing it as a Broadway show initially.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It ran off Broadway for 7 months. It was October through May, and it was nominated for a Drama Desk Award in New York, and it was a New York Times critics pick. So it was, but that was as a theater show.
Uh-huh.
It contained rap songs. We were billing it sort of one third TED Talk, one third rap concert, one third stand up comedy, and then I sort of developed those songs into what is now the record.
Well, nice.
Freaking pre-order it, everyone, so the day it drops, it bounces up the charts.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
When we come back from the break, we'll listen to a cut. We'll play some of it.
Cool.
It's a 4-minute cut.
You should listen to the whole thing in its entirety and fuck off this bullshit talk.
You're in a shitty mood.
Sorry, I was stuck in traffic for a while.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Should I be apologizing to you 3 times for that?
Yes, later on. Well, by the end of the day, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery. That's G-U-M is in... My name is... ROAD.com...
you did there.
/Emery, and buy the damn thing.
Why did the rapper carry an umbrella?
Why?
Faux drizzle.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come. And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe when we're talking with Baba Brinkman, Shelley Siegel, and Matt Kirshen. Thanks for being here, you guys. So Yom Kippur starts at what time tonight?
It depends. It varies from country to country, but it's sun... It goes from sundown to sundown, but except for some reason it's 25 hours, and I've never quite worked out exactly. I think it goes from where like the first star appears in the sky, and then it finishes at when the sun disappears, or something like that.
I see. Huh.
We're going to play some music.
We were going to play some music. Shall I play that? Let's listen to... this is called Neighborhood Atheism, Baba Brinkman. It's from the Rap Guide to Religion album.
Okay, so if belief in a supernatural monitor god that supervises morality is a cultural evolutionary adaptation that spread because it incentivized cooperation in large-scale societies, giving them an adaptive edge in competitions, well then that predicts that religious people should really mistrust atheists, huh? I used to call myself
an agnostic, but that was just me being politically correct. What's my name, Baba? The B-A-B-A's a mystic honorific in South and West Asia. Named for my contemplative demeanor at the scene of my nativity. My folks were hippies in the 70s. They thought a baby with the face of a Buddhist monk must be a reincarnated Buddhist monk who to thunk. I grew up around a lot of new age woo. Deepak Chopra yoga, what the bleep do we know? Holy Eckhart Tolle, it was a heady brew. And yeah, I went through a woo phase too. I'm still cool with the yoga stretching, but not with supernatural forces, non-existent. No gods, no heaven, no hell, no karma, except for the kind that we forge ourselves. And loads of heathens have told me that even though they don't believe in them, they think that other people need them to be moral creatures. If gods don't exist, they need to be invented, cause without them everything is permitted. We live in your neighborhood. Don't be afraid of us for facing the world without faith. Get used to us, we're staying poor. And if you try living without God, you might find it liberates. My atheism's intellectual. Faith-based claims are either untestable or testable and evidentially contemptible. But then I learned that atheists are unelectable and trusted somewhat less than child molesters. Damn, I thought it was an epistemological question. You're thinking just because I don't believe I'm being watched when I'm alone that I'm about to go turn into Genghis Khan or pull a Sandy Hook on him? Get a grip, man. Morality is like a bike. Religion's like a kickstand. You can't imagine somebody being honest without the aid of a crutch because you're leaning on it. I get it, but God is not the only scaffolding that props you up with tough choices when you're grappling. It may come as a slap in the face to Republicans, but atheism increases under stable governments. In other words, people don't need gods when they feel they can trust cops to keep the laws. You think trust is earned by showing up for church? I trust an Uber driver first, you can check his work. My grandfather thought religion could save us, but I place more faith in digital reputations. Besides, religion isn't always ethical. Je suis Charlie Hebdo.
Pretty nice.
Thank goodness for auto-tune, y'all.
Yeah. It sounds great.
That is funky, my friend.
Yeah, you did a skeptic / science rap that just blew our minds. Everybody loved it.
Was that off that?
Was what off that?
Off that? Was that the
name
of the
song? Oh, was that the name of the song? I don't remember. It was
third base.
Do what?
What?
I'm with you, Heather.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
No worries.
Shut up!
Dick's like, gods, we off that. Homeopathy, we off that. You should read Dandetta and Dawkins. The
That was it. Yeah.
It's called Off That.
And how did that come about? What was the story? What made you do that song?
Well, you know what it was? Basically, I researched the Rap Guide to Evolution because I needed to try to convey Darwin's theory. And as I reached it, when I started, I considered myself agnostic. And I was like, well, of course I'm on the evolution, not the creation side. But I was also sort of open to there being a spiritual force in the universe or whatever. You know, that like I had had experiences mostly on drugs or meditation.
Yeah, a lot of like, people don't understand that.
You couldn't explain that without some kind of supernatural force. Those kind of experiences, yeah. You know.
Except that you can because they're on drugs.
Exactly. And right. Except that you can because of evolutionary behavioral psychology research. Because, there's a plausible explanation for why we would have the capacity to have those kinds of experiences that doesn't require the supernatural. And that was an argument I hadn't really come across. So as I researched the Rap Guide to Evolution, all the things, mainly just like feelings of spirituality and also the arts, like creativity. Because when you're being creative, especially when you're freestyling or you're sort of in the zone, it feels like you're channeling something that's not you. And that, for me, had been, when I was younger, kind of like, well, proof that there must be some kind of spirit. And a lot of rappers claim that as well. You know, like, when God gets to the task of speaking through us, we'd be so sincere with this here, no drugs or alcohol, so I could get the signal clear as day. That's Outkast. You know, like, a lot of rappers feel like they're channeling a spirit, and so did I.
While they're slapping a bitch up.
Yeah, exactly. Or no, but in
not
that
all spirits are good, Emery.
In that epistemology, actually, then acting wrong is the devil taking hold of your behavior. But it all is all sort of framed in this metaphysical world. But when I started researching the show, it was like the arts and spirituality to me seemed like too unexplainable with evolution to be encapsulated with science. Basically, I was like Alfred Russel Wallace, how he ended up kind of a spiritualist. And then as I researched this project, I was like, okay, all these things that I used to think needed a supernatural turn out to not. And then as I was researching all these blogs and websites, I came across Ben Goldacre and Simon Singh, Trick or Treatment and Bad Science. And, you know, honestly, I was actually into alternative medicine at the time, too. So I would have I went to see like a homeopathy person in Vancouver and never really investigated it and looked at the evidence base.
For
that
what?
Was just the sorry?
For what would you go to him for?
Like I had a knee injury from snowboarding and all like acupuncture and moxibustion. It's like moxibustion where you like hover a burning herb over your knee like and heat it up and you got to do
right
it three times or five times or seven times but not four times or six times. Like I consider myself a rational person but I swallowed this shit hook, line, and sinker for many years. So I was like 27 and okay, I mean this is almost like embarrassing to admit now but say when I started rapping the Rap Guide to Evolution, I had actually never been vaccinated for anything, like even as a child, anything. I was like totally raised in an alternative medicine and alternative views kind of culture, and I read Bad Science or Trick or Treatment, and I was like, holy shit, all this stuff that I believed in up until the minute of reading these books, like I brought them home. I brought like 10 copies of Bad Science home, and I gave them to my mom, my dad, my cousins, my friends. I was like, you wouldn't believe this. Homeopathy's bullshit. And they're all like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And then, you know how like
they're still all into it, too.
Yeah, they're like, not kind of, that's no way to tell someone who believe that
mom,
shit.
Mom, dad, you know how we always have polio?
Have you been vaccinated yet?
Oh, yeah. I went to a doctor, and I was like, I hate to break this to you, but I need everything. And I kind of got it all caught up.
Oh, right, that's good. Right.
And how'd you deal with your autism?
I focus obsessively on rhyme schemes.
Oh. Wow.
Is there any vaccinations that if you miss when you're a child, you can't get when you're...
I don't believe so.
Diphtheria?
I know the hep, the
well, there's
the virus,
there's like HPV where
you have to be a certain age.
Where like, well, I think the reason for that is by now, if you didn't get it when you were 13, it's sort of the horse has bolted. is far too late.
Are you saying everyone has it that didn't get it by the time they were 13?
I'm going to say with some, I've never been tested, but I'm going to say with some confidence that everyone around this table probably has HPV.
I've had the vaccine.
Did you get the vaccine when you were young enough though?
Yeah.
All right, you're younger.
And Australian. Yeah. And Australian? What
and
the
a,
hell?
And a virgin, actually.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Fuck you, Emery.
Sorry.
But we got measles and chicken pox, and those are vaccinated for now. But when I was growing up, it was like, so have you got it yet? No, you know, when are you going to get it? It was just sort of like everyone gets it, and that's how you become immune.
Yeah, my parents
that was the mentality.
Shoved me in the direction of a kid with chicken pox.
Oh, that happened, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Go get it so you don't have to get it again.
Yeah. And they say not to do that now.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you know what vaccines are? That, but not as dangerous.
Yeah. I wonder about my vaccination when I was a child. I mean, if my mom was alive now, I'd ask her, but I got chicken pox. I mean, I wonder what I was vaccinated for when I was
a kid.
You
would have probably...
It was 73 when I was born, so...
You would have had... well, the measles vaccine wasn't out yet, I don't think. You probably would have had whooping cough, although I didn't.
Yes, I know.
And we've talked about this on the show because, in fact, Ben Goldacre talks about this, how the measles one recently ended up being a global thing. But one of the indicators that every vaccine scare is bullshit is how localized they are. Like different countries have different vaccine scares for different things at different times of life. So in 1980, when I was born, Britain's vaccine scare of the day was whooping cough, and so I never got that vaccine. I'm trying to think which ones you would have had around that time.
You would have had
tetanus probably.
Yeah.
You would have had polio certainly.
Yeah.
I didn't get the chickenpox.
You didn't get
a chickenpox.
So Ryan did not get
the vaccine and I was born in
80. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're the same. Yeah, we're the same age give or take, and it's
I'm 63. I was born in 63, so I definitely got chickenpox, measles, rubella, diphtheria. Yeah.
And you got vaccinated against all of those?
No, he caught all those diseases.
Oh, you got them.
Yeah, no, I'm a Black Betty. I don't know if you knew that about me. You know, I remember getting all kinds of vaccines and then flu vaccines every year. And then there was a period of time when they just stopped doing the flu vaccines because my mom was poor.
Yeah.
Well, poor kids don't.
I remember
illnesses.
Being at school and it was vaccine day, and everyone went in the room and got it, and I would be excused to like go play or read, and the kids would be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'd say, "Well, my family doesn't believe in that."
Yeah,
that kind of thing. So.
That certainly, I don't think there were any kids who got out of it. Like at school, we had a tetanus booster, a polio booster, and we had the BCG vaccine, which is for tuberculosis, which apparently Americans tend not to have. They tend to get a test, but not the vaccine. most British kids, nearly all British kids, unless the test showed that they already had the antibodies, most British kids will have a scar on the left arm, like a small raised circle.
I used to have a scar on one of my arms, and it just kind of went away. I don't have.
Yeah, it fades over time. Mine's very barely noticeable now, but it's there.
Yeah.
Do you get flu vaccines?
I do now. I didn't ever when I was in the UK.
Yeah.
In the UK, they give them them to old people and people who are more prone to illnesses.
Yeah.
People who are immunocompromised or whatever, for whatever reason. But in America, now I have the health insurance here, and they give it to you for free anyway. I just get it.
Is it better to have it? Because I was so confused when I got here. At home in Australia, they don't... Yeah, unless you're old or sick or very young.
Or Irish.
But I think that's a cost decision, because in Australia has a slightly different but similar universal healthcare, and they just go, well, this is how much it costs, and it's definitely worth it to give it to people who are in serious trouble if they get it, like old people or immunocompromised people, but not worth it to give the entire country.
Time off work would, you know...
Yeah, that's true, and there's herd immunity, but then it's not 100% effective, so maybe herd immunity isn't so much of a thing for the flu vaccine, but I don't know.
Because I came here, and it's like at every pharmacy, I've been calling them chemists, and people have been looking at me like I'm after drugs.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. But yeah, every pharmacy is like, you know, advertising flu vaccines. I was like, is this... like something that people need, or is it just like
we didn't used to see big advertisements for flu vaccines, you know, $10, $12, $15, come on in, get it. We didn't used to see that. I think that might be a side effect of the anti-vaccination movement.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think that's what's going on. they're having to respond to that problem.
What is it in Australia? Do people just get it, but they don't need it advertised?
No, you just don't get it unless you're at risk.
Yeah, in Britain it's very similar. So they make a point. They definitely, I think the government every winter does have campaigns saying if you are over whatever age their cutoff is, or below a certain age, or immunocompromised. So, you know, people with HIV or people who've had cancer treatment and chemotherapy that lowers your immune system or for whatever reason else, then they're like, come in and get this treatment.
And all the healthy people, they're just like, well, if you get it, then just ride it out? Or
yeah.
Because the CDC here says that everyone should get it, right? Like as a herd immunity thing.
We should, yes. Well, yeah. 78% or 82%, some number like that needs to, for the herd immunity to be working.
It's a weird one because the flu vaccine varies in effectiveness every year because, like this year, for example, they got slightly wrong strains, so it actually ended up being not particularly effective. But what it does do is, and it doesn't stop you from getting it, like in the same way that, like if you get the measles vaccine or the polio vaccine, you have a very low chance of getting polio or measles. Right. Flu, not so much, but apparently it does still, it lowers your chance of getting it. And if you do get it, it reduces the severity of your symptoms.
And there's different strains of the flu virus, so you Which could is have partly something, the problem. You know, yeah. other than what you're getting vaccinated
And that's what
for.
Happened this year. They ended up, they vaccinated against
the
two,
ones.
They prepared for a couple of strains, but it turns out the predominant strain this year was not one of the ones that they were stopping.
Well, that sucks.
And for the record, Matt Kirshen is on a podcast called Probably Science, and pretty well read about this.
Heavy
stuff.
On the probably.
No.
Possibly science.
I think you're pretty smart. Every time I listen to that show and every time I'm on that show, I'm blown away by how much you guys do know.
Well, we have the big advantage is we have scientist listeners who correct us when we screw up.
Right.
Which is always lovely.
All right. So Probably Science, check that out. You should go do that next time you're in town.
I would love that.
Probably Science.
Sign me up.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. We have a premium ad-free service. That's right. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You Want button. If you want to give us more money, we will give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous if you can afford it and support the show. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. The neighbors called the police on me for disturbing the peace because my rap music was too loud.
That's ludicrous.
No, it was Eminem.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids. Remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come.
No, it's a great ad. One of my favorite ads ever. And now back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Baba Brinkman, Shelly Schneegle, and Matt Klershen.
He messes up the names every time, Baba.
Why
it doesn't matter.
Baba Brinkman.
You have
trademark.
To write another song.
Yeah, that's my hook.
Now, is Baba your first name, or is it a...
No, it's a nickname. I was trying to, like...
He was raised by Wolvie.
In the rap of the Neighborhood Atheism song, I told the sort of origin story of the name, which is that when I was born, apparently I had sort of a contemplative expression on my face, and for my hippie parents, that was empirical evidence that I was
joking.
A reincarnated enlightened monk or
guru.
And Baba in India means like a holy man, so they called me Baba, thinking I was like. Formerly a Dalai Lama type, basically. So the more skeptical I got, the more ironic my name became, but I've been called that since the day I was born, and my legal name is Dirk.
Dirk?
Dirk is my real name.
Did they show you the face?
Wow.
Like, can you pull the face, Dirk?
I have a... Dirk?
Wow.
I mean, babies kind of all look like Buddhas, but apparently, you know, when I was, but literally, like, I was a home birth, you know, speaking of hippies, like in a log cabin in the woods that my dad and his friends built.
Oh,
no
God.
Hospital for like 4-hour drive in every direction.
Whoa.
And I was born,
nice
like, just
safe.
Born calm, basically. So they were like,
no complications,
he
thank
must
fuck.
Be a Baba.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't want to play looking like a Buddhist monk, top trumps on you, but when I was born, I was actually born cross-legged and on fire as a protest.
Your poor mother.
And they named you Matt?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, missed opportunity there.
They didn't have Wikipedia
like
back
Matt.
Then.
Wow, that's funny.
Oh, my God.
How did your mom survive this?
And, Baba, you have a family.
Yeah, I got married just over 2 years ago, and I have a daughter who is... 2 months shy of 2 years old.
We saw her.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We saw her on FaceTime.
Yeah. And I married a scientist, too. My wife is a neuroscientist at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, and she studies the neural basis of impulse control disorder behaviors.
Huh. So she helps you with your music.
Absolutely. She's my home peer review kit.
That's great.
Well, being raised in this environment... you touched on going back to the family and saying this is bullshit. Was it tough? I mean, did you get attacked by family? Do they and do you have problems now with
no,
all that?
No, I mean, they're like, I don't want to misrepresent because it was an extremely nurturing environment as well,
yeah.
And I get along great with all of them. But they're, you know, they're just like, yeah, you have your beliefs and we have our beliefs, and our beliefs are that all these medicines that we take are working for us,
right.
And you know, who are you to tell us that they're not? Because our experience tells us that it is.
Did you tell them you're Baba? Yeah. You're the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama?
I try not to play that card.
Oh. Yeah, it wouldn't be reasonable.
It doesn't go over so well.
When was the last time you were home?
You might be Bubba in the rest of the world, but to hear you're just a little brother, so you shut the fuck up, jerk.
Yeah, I was home like a week ago. I was home for a week just now. I was hanging out. I stayed with my parents. We're all good.
How's it feel walking into that environment and just, like... Do you feel kind of, at this point? Do you feel kind of like, okay, I gotta
get prepared.
I bet
he's pretty zenful about it.
Or do you go, oh, this is home?
I think we basically have just hashed out some of these arguments so many times that we just avoid them. I think it's probably pretty similar with atheists that have religious parents. You go home and you play nice around all the things that you get along with, and you know, I don't think I'm going to change their minds on the question of whether homeopathy is effective or not. I think there's going to be homeopathy in the medicine cabinet at my parents' house, until the end of their lives, and I'm fairly stoic about that.
Do they try to force anything on you, like here?
If I'm sick, they might be like, oh, you want to try this oil of oregano? I know you're not into that kind of thing, but you know, it might actually help. And sometimes I'm tempted because I'm like, oh, I'm not doing anything.
This medicine's delicious.
Do they avoid? Western medicine?
No, they see it as complementary.
They go to doctors. And that's less of an issue because I guess if you came home and someone you love is really sick and avoiding what you
You don't have family members
better,
dying.
Nobody's doing that. No, not at all. That's not an issue. No one's in dire medical straits and not going to see a real doctor.
Okay,
do you
but
to
they
overdose?
Just take all the complementary
homeopathy? Like,
what's that? Overdose.
You just threaten. This is the sleeping.
Well, you know, when they started doing the overdose on homeopathic sleeping pills
the
when this started happening, it was important. It was a profound example of how just fundamentally stupid this idea is. But they've altered their argument in order to respond to that. You know what the argument is, right? No.
Well, I mean, it might be the one that I get at home, which is this is what proves that the medicine is safe and better than any Western medicine.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
So they've just, in fact, they've said it's so good you can't OD on it. What is it? It's a feature, not a bug. You know, that's their argument.
Well,
that's how they go with it.
You can overdose on water. You can drown yourself.
Yeah, but these are pills.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that I ever heard the argument for it beforehand that wouldn't have taken that into account. Because in that view, it's not actually having a sort of biophysical effect like a pharmaceutical. It's signaling to your body's immune system that it's time to like make a move on this. It's sort of like it's like a hint or something. Like it points it towards what it's supposed to do now.
It claims that it has memory.
That's the thing. That initially works. But yeah, I think that's then the mechanism by which they claim it works is what Bubba was just saying, which is. So it's
and,
like.
And the water has memory thing, I'm not sure if all homeopathic advocates are playing that card either, actually. I think some. Can get around the physics of whether water has memory and say no, like your maths are wrong. There are particles in there, maybe one per every 30 million water molecules or whatever. But it's the tiny little hint of whatever was in it that is still in it, not the water memory, but there is something in there. Like I don't know anyone that takes homeopathy that thinks there's nothing but sugar in it. I mean, that's what it turns out to be when it's tested.
Right.
But they, you know, they're not taking their pill bottles to the chemist to test them.
What you were saying about the parent going back to the family, I think most people have certain very notable differences of opinion with elements of their family. It's very rare entire families are on the same page. And like for example, my parents, particularly my mum, is much more right wing than me by a long way. I'm a big bleeding heart liberal and lefty, and they are very like. My mum's a Conservative Party card-carrying member, and I think her views are, like, she's helping to support a party that is doing extreme damage to the country and really hurting poor people. We disagree passionately on that. I still visit home and have a very nice time because they're still my family. I love them. We agree on numerous things. We just sometimes then have arguments about politics. I think it's easy in the world to, in the sort of echo chamber that we exist in media, to kind of think of everyone as on opposite sides of everything. Like, these people are like this. And you go, well, these people are also your mum and dad.
Yeah.
And they're fundamentally good people, just in my opinion, woefully misguided on a very important issue.
I've never actually sat down and talked to any of my family members who are religious about what they believe in. I just know that they're Christian, and I know they have crosses and shit hanging up all over their house. And I know that when they're on Facebook, they ask, you know, for God's prayers and stuff like that. But I also know that they love the shit out of me and they support me completely. And they're my Facebook friends and never, you know, shit on my views or anything like that. So we never have had this discussion before. It doesn't mean we won't, but it's kind of nice to know that I can just be myself around my really religious family and there's no
I get my cousins
drama.
Chiming in with some God loves you stuff on Facebook every now and then.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, my family, my parents and my brother and sister are all into the alternative medicine stuff, but my first cousins are young earth creationists. And in Rap Guy Devolution, I have this whole thing called Creationist Cousins about debating them over the family dinner table. And we do tend to talk about it every time I go for dinner with them. It's like, you don't really believe we came from monkeys, do you? And I'm like, yeah, of course I do. And here's why. You don't really believe that unbaptized children are going to hell, do you? And, you know, we hash it right out, you know.
I don't go to family gatherings without a food taster.
Yeah.
Period. They all want to kill me. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission, which is a very nice intermission. That's not the same. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Rabbi, I cut your cock off.
That gives away what the topic last week was.
Thundercock, Ray Cumfart, Kyle Delaney, nobody, Kentucky Atheist, Sasha Luna, BJ, Lady
Cirk, yeah.
Carl Barrett, Anonymous, New Guy. Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Yeah. Welcome back, New Guy. And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Baba Brinkman, Shelley Siegel, and Matt Kirshen. Three names I did not fuck up this time.
Thanks
for being here, you guys. I really appreciate it.
There's a thing, there's a phenomenon. I don't know how true it is, or whether it's just one of those little quirks called nominative determinism, where people end up just in a job that happens to curiously match their name.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether that is something that happened with Rabbi Cut Your Cock Off. Or whether it is pure
No, speaking of rabbis, I got to mention this. I was on, I made a Vine because I was watching Larry O'Donnell's show, Lawrence O'Donnell's show on MSNBC. I'm not a news guy. I don't watch news. I kind of hate news. But Trump has turned me into a guy that can't get enough news, and I just go and I get it from Lawrence O'Donnell's show. And I was watching, and he did a Gallup poll that included atheists. And it was about, you know, could you vote for a presidential candidate that was XYZ? Atheist was in the list, and they misspelled atheist, I-E-S-T. And so I made a Vine about it.
How did it stack up?
Well, it's kind of confusing. 40% said no, and 58% said yes on atheist.
Hmm.
So that's a...
MSNBC viewers, totally skewed.
Exactly.
We're below Muslims, though, just letting you know.
We're definitely below...
But above socialists.
In more than one way, yeah. And so I posted that, and at Rabbi Baker, or as I like to call him, Rabbi Baker, he said, good to know you can read. You can hope that in future reincarnations, you may return as a human being.
Nice job, Rabbi.
I didn't think rabbis believed in reincarnation.
That's the thing. It's bizarre. The whole thing is confusing. And
by the way, how did he end up as not a baker? Unlike his cock cutting friend and colleague.
I don't know, making that unleavened bread, it takes some skills, you know.
Well, and we don't know. He might actually bake rabbis.
Oh, that's also true.
Yeah. He may well be a Nazi.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Is it Rabbi Baker or Rabbi Baker?
That's possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
I would expect this kind of attack against atheists from a Nazi.
Well, I'm just wondering why he decided to come in at all. Was he having a bad day? And was like, I'm just going to fuck with this guy because he's an atheist.
Like, it's really weird. What a weird attack.
Yeah. You're
not, and I would expect of all the people in the world to not try to dehumanize someone, it would be the ones most affected by dehumanization.
So speaking of dehumanization and news, if you're not a news junkie, did you miss the big UK news 2 days ago?
Yes.
Is this the dead pig?
I caught it on a late night show. Apparently David Cameron put
Prime Minister
his cock...
Britain.
What?
Prime Minister of Britain.
Prime Minister of Britain, right. For those who don't know. He put his cock in the mouth of a dead pig. Mouth?
Yeah, as a student, when he was younger.
As a hazing ritual for this group.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if anybody watches Black Mirror, that was a mind-blowing moment.
I know, I saw that. Yes, I saw that.
We thought Black Mirror was so beyond the pale until the news came out and said, no, actually,
so
it really
So did Black
happened.
Mirror know this story?
Charlie Brooker has said on Twitter, Charlie Brooker, the creator of Black Mirror, has said on Twitter he had no idea.
Wow.
Really?
That he was so prescient. Like,
that's weird. What are the odds of that?
So are most people in the UK, like, accepting that as reality, or is it kind
That's
of
what
a
prime ministers do
thing,
right?
Well, I'm pretty sure I mean he hasn't denied it.
Are there photos?
Supposedly, yes, there are, although they're yet to come out.
Well, I mean, I think he has a reputation of being a little too stiff, so this has got to help, right?
Or maybe it made him stiffer.
So I guess I'm wondering how he's dealing with it. How is he?
Well, oh my God! I just realized. Obama needs to do this. That would prove he's not a Muslim.
Well, he eats bacon.
Well, yeah, I don't. You can't eat or fuck bacon if you're Muslim. I'm pretty sure you can't get near bacon. Yeah.
Now, there are some cultural Muslims.
That's pretty unclean.
Isn't it like the norm now for some kind of for some people in politics to have weird pasts and do drugs and fuck pig faces and
I think that's
normal
for everyone.
Obama admitted to snorting coke in his autobiography.
Right, right. Of course he did.
Yeah. And he butt fucked a dead cow or something. I'm just guessing. I'm not sure. Did he? I don't know. Someone fact check that. Can someone on the wall just fact check that? I don't want to have misspoken.
Okay, Obama butt fuck cow. Please do a search. Google.
I can guarantee
that'll
come
out
with results.
I do not want to know what comes up.
That's something's going to come up.
Google
Someone's
that.
Googling that right now on the wall. Oh Christ! What have we done?
Looks like the answer is one of Trump's Instagrams.
Trump. Is there anything like that from Britain? I mean, have you ever had this kind of freak show?
And there's, he's not as whack job, but there's for example, the very notable success in the last few years of Nigel Farage in the UK Independence Party. And it's all, again, sort of cult of personality, very much demonizing immigrants and the poor, and pretending to be a man of the people while very much not being a man of the people. So there's something similar to that in the UK.
Before him, it was Nick Griffin.
Yeah,
but they're
comedian
sort of
Nick Griffin.
Comedian Nick Griffin, who has a different appearance and voice in the UK, and was the leader of the British National Party, which is the far right racist party. Same guy though. I'm pretty sure.
And if we could fact check,
you wouldn't get two people called Nick Griffin. That's not a very common name.
No, what are the odds?
Got to be billions to one. And
you would
it's not like a rabbi cut your cock off or whatever, like a common name. But
you'd expect both of them to be flying dragons.
Well, you would.
Did I get that right? Is that what a griffin is?
Ish.
I don't know what a griffin is. I'm honestly not sure what a griffin is. I was going for your
What is
joke.
A griffin? Is it like half
like
lion, half bird?
Yeah,
or yeah that's
yeah.
right.
Lion
hawk, bird. Hawk and lion.
God damn it. Can we just go back? Will you set me up?
Yeah.
Okay. So, don't do it. Don't do it.
Trump is starting to crumble now. Like the second debate, people started to attack him on issue. And people are like, why is he keeping things in? Why is he still attacking people's appearance and so on? And like, because that's what he has to do.
It's all he does.
That's all he does. People are like acting surprised when he does that. It's utterly in his interest to keep things at the superficial, to keep things at the level of personal attack. And weather a few personal attacks on him at the same time about his appearance, because as long as he keeps things about, he is a cult of personality. The last thing he wants is for anything to be about issues, because whenever people have tried to ask him about specific issues, he has nothing. He starts to flounder and talk in circles. He's like the kid at school who says he knows karate but won't show you any of the moves because he might die. Like, he's like that level of...
24 like, oh, hours after I'm in office, I'll know more than you know about that.
Yeah,
he literally said that.
Absolutely, and he's like, I've got my advisors, I've surrounded myself with the best people for foreign policy, and they're like, who will these best people be? And he was like, I'm talking to people, and we will find... Like, he has nothing. He has nothing. It's empty. Like, the emperor has no clothes, but as long as... they're listening to him pointing, going, ah, look at your cock, and ah, look at her face, then it'll be distracted from that fact.
I want to see what Colbert does tonight.
Yeah, he's got
Trump
him on the
is on
show.
Colbert tonight. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And Colbert was good last night. I don't know if you guys saw Ted Cruz last night, but yeah. Colbert put the screws to him pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to predict that Colbert will aggressively ask him about the Obama
Muslim thing.
Yeah.
And he'll dodge that. And I'm going to predict that Colbert will akin that to a meatball in some way. That's my prediction.
Well, he'll, yeah.
I didn't read this or anything. What?
What?
Nothing. Yeah, that's what happens. I read that. Yeah, it's he's a douchebag. He's also ignorant. I mean, he's really, really, like you were saying, Matt, I don't think he knows anything about any of the things.
Well, there was an article, and again, this was in Forbes and Business Week, so pretty reputable and right-leaning publication, where they crunched the numbers, and if in 1986 he'd taken his inherited fortune and just placed it in an index fund, he would be richer now than he is, and just walked away, just placed it in that fund and not touched it for a couple of decades, he would be richer today than he is after all of his supposedly ingenious and creative investments.
Yeah. Well,
that's how smart he isn't.
Yeah, he's lying about his net worth. All the smart money says it's all bullshit.
And this figure, by the way...
He's a millionaire, not a billionaire.
I heard he probably is a billionaire, but even like this analysis took him at his word, like took the lowest estimate for his 1986 worth and the highest estimate, like his highest claims for his current today worth, both of which are off. But they took the maximum possible gain, and he's still off from just the market, from just walking away from the market by a factor of several.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw that article.
You saw the article?
Yeah, I didn't think they took into account that he also had to live off the money.
Oh, so Ryan's saying they didn't take into account that he actually has to live off the money and the expenses. Like he lives pretty high.
Yeah.
He's very, very, he's huge expenses.
But even still, it's orders of magnitude different.
Yeah, yeah.
Or factors, rather.
Yeah, I think he's a pathological liar. There's a little slice of me that hopes he wins both the nomination and becomes our president, and I'll tell you why. Because we will be rid of him within a year or two. Because he will break laws like nobody's business, and he will go to prison. That's what I think. That's who I think he is. You don't think so?
The country will go down in flames.
Well, no, the country won't go down in flames. The country weathered fine after Nixon. The country will be fine.
He's worse than any of that.
I don't think he's worse than any of that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody will work with him for starters. Talk about a frozen system.
Everyone's going to move to Europe.
No, I don't think. I wish some would.
They're going to go live with ISIS.
How about Canada? Do you have your Trumps?
We have Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who's been in power for like 10 years now, and
he's awful.
And he's like extremely right-winging, climate change denier, like trickle-down economics right across the board, all in bed with oil cronies. And the election's on October the 19th, so maybe he'll be out. I hope so.
How's it looking? What are the
polls
It's
looking
say?
Like a dead heat last time I read. It was,
that means he's going to win.
There's three parties, conservative, New Democrat, and liberal, and they're pretty much all neck and neck, although I think Harper and the conservatives are down a bit and NDP is up a bit, but it's all within anything could shift. And the head of the Liberal Party is Justin Trudeau, the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Oh, wow.
So there's a bit of a dynastic thing going on there.
The Doonesbury cartoonist?
No.
That's Gary Trudeau.
Gary
Do you
Trudeau.
Think that, you know, I know he's not going to run, but do you think if Colbert came in at the last minute that he'd win?
No. Colbert?
Yeah.
No way.
What, for the Democrats?
Yeah.
Well, would Colbert run? I mean, he's a religious guy.
It's going to be Bush Clinton, as it has been for the last 3 years. Like, it's so obviously, like, there's going to be another half a year of theater, and then it's going to be Bush Clinton.
Oh, my God.
The interesting thing will be who the running mates are.
Yeah. Any ideas?
I think, I think there's a good chance Carly Fiorina is going to be
the vice
running mate, because I think they're going to realize that she is a good neutralizer for Hillary Clinton. But also, she's full of shit. Like a lot of, like, she crushed in the debates, but then the subsequent fact-checking, half the things she said just turned out to not be true.
She's awful.
But it's also turned out that in previous years that fact-checking doesn't win debates. Like, people don't really care. The person who's there going afterwards are, actually, you're off by 3.5%. No one cares. They care about who scored the big hot points.
Right. Well, what do you do if you don't like anyone who's running? What do you do? Who do you vote for?
Just get out of the system, man. they're all the same, brother.
Baba's parents.
Yeah. I don't buy that they're all the same either.
No, it's bullshit. I think it's
no. There's always a lesser evil on the bill for sure.
Yeah, that is what we've always had as long as I've been alive.
And I also don't buy the if you vote, you're encouraging them argument, because like this is the system you're stuck with, and yes, you can fight outside of the elections to change the system and improve the system. But when it comes to election, they're not the same, and you do have a chance to even marginally swing the arrow in a more favorable direction. And why the fuck wouldn't you?
What?
Which candidate is anti-war?
Oh, yeah, which candidate is anti-war? That would just be Bernie.
Well, he's got a history, too.
He's a war guy?
He's voted when Clinton was Trump.
Trump is not anti-war. He's crazy. He's a hawk like nobody's business. So your argument is they're all the same because they're all pro-war, all hawks? I see. He's saying, so Ryan is saying that if war, and it is a strong, it's a very important issue to me. In fact, somebody posted something online and said, all of the things Bernie says he's going to do, what's missing from the list, how to pay for it. And my response was, take 3% from the fucking defense budget, and you can pay for that and get really good hookers for all of us. It's that
you
easy.
Get a hooker and you get a hooker.
Everybody. Look under your seats.
Under your seats.
Hello, everybody. Here with an I don't even know what just came on. Music just comes out of nowhere on my computer. All right.
It's
do we
God
have to wrap this
talking
up
to you.
We've really?
Got 3 seconds.
Wait, what did he just say? We have 3 seconds. All right.
All now right. We're done.
All right, give me a second. I got to figure out where this... Where
your
this
seconds is. Are up.
All right, then I'm going to wrap up this show. Should we finish it? That's it for the free hour. This is being the free version of episode 180. Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Baba Brinkman, Shelly Siegel, and Matt Kirshen. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guest will be...
Perky.
And we'll be talking about...
Saggy tits.
Okay, I know. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Changed Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Deranged Winters.
Ah, where can people find you, Matt Kirshen?
At Matt Kirshen, Facebook / Matt Kirshen on all the social media. Probably Science is my podcast. Please give it a listen, and there will be a new stand-up album coming out later in the year. But in the meantime, you can find my one online in all the places where albums are.
All right, Baba Brinkman, where can people find you?
Just my name, BABABRINKMAN, BabaBrinkman.com, Facebook, Twitter, it's all there. And the new album is called Rap Guide to Religion, which is available for pre-order and streaming at music.BabaBrinkman.com.
Do it.
Shelly.
In your spare room. Yeah, ShellySiegel.com and on all social media. And best place to get music is Bandcamp.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Trump.